Do you need help protecting your finances as you enter retirement? David Dickens of KC Financial Advisors has got you covered. Welcome to the Cover Your Assets KC podcast.
You're tuned in to the Cover Your Assets KC podcast. I'm Walter Storholt alongside David Dickens, President and Wealth Advisor at KC Financial Advisors, serving you throughout the Kansas City area with an office in Overland Park. You can find David by going online to coveryourassetskc.com. That's coveryourassetskc.com. And I'm excited for today's show, David, because we're bringing back what was supposed to be the big financial news of 2020. You know, we really went a good 5 or 6 years without anything too incredible changing in the financial landscape, other than the tax cuts that we saw shortly after Trump was elected. We saw that. That was kind of big financial news. And then, you know, the steady increase of the stock market over the couple of years, you know, that was kind of the news that we were experiencing. And then we had the SECURE Act come into play at the end of 2019, and that was going to be like the big financial news of the year. That's certainly been turned on its head in 2020 as the news is changing constantly on us. But we're going to take a breath today and kind of go back to that thing that was supposed to be sort of the dominant financial headline of the year. We're going to talk a little bit about some changes under the SECURE Act today, in particular, some changes related to inherited IRAs. And they're pretty big changes, right, David?
Well, they are. And we keep getting more and more clarification out of the IRS. But for years in my business, in the financial planning business for people, you spend a lot of time structuring inherited IRAs for their heirs, ways that people can inherit money and get the biggest tax benefit out of that possible. And the SECURE Act blew a massive hole right through the entire inherited IRA strategies that we've been following for years. So we're getting a lot of questions from clients. And so what I've tried to do is I want to structure this podcast to go through some of the biggest questions. I've got a couple of specific examples, but of ways that you can get tripped up on the new inherited IRA rules when you thought the plans you had in place were totally good. So hopefully this is going to be super important for people that are setting up their beneficiaries now. But if you happen to be a beneficiary, I think this will be helpful as well. So hopefully there's something in here for everybody.
So these will be the specific ways that inherited IRAs are now treated differently moving forward. And with that, let's dive into number one.
Okay, so just as a kind of a refresher, when you inherit an IRA, so let's say you have an IRA, you name some beneficiaries. They might be your spouse. They might be your kids. They could be grandkids. Or they could be somebody who is not even related to you. So you get to make that choice. Hopefully you do, because if you don't make those choices, the state will tell you who's going to inherit your stuff, including your IRAs. So you've probably set up your IRAs, and the thought is that the people that inherit these will going to be able to take that money out over their lifetime and maintain that tax-deferred status. Right up off the top, I also want to say, these rules also impact Roth IRA beneficiaries. So the tax-free status that you thought maybe you were setting up for somebody for life, that's also undergone some change. So the first category of beneficiary is your spouse, the surviving spouse. And the good news on this is there are no changes that were made for the surviving spouse. What almost all surviving spouses that I work with do is they inherit that IRA or the Roth from their deceased spouse, and they just turn it into their own. They'll put it into their own name. They will then take required distributions over their own life expectancy, not the one of their deceased spouse. And life just kind of rocks, financial life just kind of rocks on normally for them. So no change to that for the surviving spouse. Where it gets super tricky is for groups that are either people that are described as eligible designated beneficiaries or everybody else. So an eligible designated beneficiary, there are 5 classes of those people, and I'm not going to go into a significant detail on any of them except one class. But those people include, well, the surviving spouse is one, which I've just mentioned, but there aren't any changes for that person. Minor children of the deceased person, a disabled individual who would be a beneficiary of your IRA, for instance, somebody who's chronically ill, and is a beneficiary, or beneficiaries that are not more than 10 years younger than you. In other words, the IRS says, close enough is good enough. We're not going to change the rules on those people either. So, yeah, why make it simple when you can make it very complex?
That's right.
So for those people, their rules for inheriting an IRA are similar to the spouse in that they don't change, with this, what I would consider a major exception. If you die and you leave some of your money to your children and they happen to be minors, so in Missouri and Kansas, that's 18. Certain states are still 21. But if they inherit money, let's just say that your 15-year-old child inherits part of your IRA. Let's say that's $100,000 that you left to each of your children, and this one happens to be 15 years old. While they are a minor, they have to take a required minimum distribution. So if you do that calculation, there's a special table that the IRS puts for, it's called a single life table, but it's way reduced from the required distribution you have to take when you're 72. So in other words, a 15-year-old out of a $100,000 IRA would have to take out about $1,450. Actually, I think it's $1,472. By the time they're 17, they'd have to take out $1,538. So basically, this IRA will last a long time, the tax deferral. But what happens is, when that minor becomes 18, now they have to empty the remainder of that out over 10 years. The deferral over their lifetime ended with the Secure Act. So they can either take it out all when they're 18, or maybe they take it out all when they're 22 or 26. They can take it out as lumpy as they want, but by the time their 27th year rolls around, they have to take the entire amount out. And the important thing is, it's a taxable transaction. So if they wait till they're 27 and they have a nice paying job, well, they may be paying 22 or 24 or 25 or 28% of taxes on that, plus some to their state. So the key there is that even if they are an eligible designated beneficiary because they're your minor child, once they reach the age of majority, they have to take that money out over 10 years or less. One class, I have a lot of clients that set these up and they have their grandchildren as the beneficiaries. And that made a ton of sense under the old rules, because if your 8-year-old grandchild receives part of your IRA, they used to be able to get to keep that tax deferral for the rest of their lives and take out a very small required distribution each year. That went away under the Secure Act, and they're not even in the eligible designated beneficiary category. If a grandchild or a niece or a nephew or anybody else inherits a piece of your IRA, they have to clean out that account within 10 years. No particular order. They could wait till the end of the 10 years. They could take it all up front. But whenever they take it out, it's taxable and it has to be cleaned out within 10 years. So that is for someone who dies in 2020 and beyond. So that was a big change. And the reason I bring it up is because I have a lot of grandparents that used to think it was part of their estate plan. This would be so cool to have my grandkid inherit this money and have the tax deferral last forever. Or their Roth IRA, where the grandkid gets to take out tax-free money for the rest of their life. That just changed to 10 years.
Wow, big difference.
It's a really big difference. And since it had been, the old rules had been in place for so long, what you'll want to do if you're in that situation is you just want to make sure that your beneficiary list is still set up the way you want it. You may have certain assets that you might shuffle around in different places so that the tax implications are the most advantageous for each individual beneficiary. Not necessarily within the scope of this, but for instance, your life insurance policies, that's tax-free money that goes to your heirs. You may want to change the beneficiaries there and have more of your IRA proceeds go to your spouse because that can be deferred. More life insurance proceeds go to your kids, your grandkids, etc., and do a little bit of estate planning that way. So we covered the surviving spouse, no changes. We covered eligible designated beneficiaries. If those are your kids, it's great until they're of age of majority and then it changes. And if they're your grandkids, they have to clean it out in 10 years. Probably the biggest unintended consequence of this is if you have set up your beneficiaries to be your trust. Now, a lot of my clients don't have a trust. They don't need a trust, but some of them do. And they have their IRAs paying into their trust. After their spouse, it goes into the trust. And they have a look-through provisions so that the IRA benefits extended to those beneficiaries over their lifetimes. That has changed under the Secure Act, and that's why I wanted to lean on this a little bit today. If you set up a trust, you expect that, let's say that you have a beneficiary that's either a minor or maybe they're a spendthrift. We have clients that have kids, adult kids, that they're just not comfortable having them inherit a $250,000 or a $500,000 IRA. They put it in their trust, and the trust determines how that kid, that adult kid, is going to get the money. And the change that happened in the Secure Act is that that money has to be cleaned out within 10 years. So, for instance, let's say that you set up your trust and you say, I want my son, my adult son, to get $5,000 a year or his required minimum distribution, whichever is greater. I want him to get that for the rest of his life. And maybe the remainder of that IRA goes to a grandchild. That's not at all uncommon because they're afraid the son will spend all the money when he gets it. Well, what happens with the new tax law change is the required minimum distribution is now zero. So he would get the $5,000 a year, but in the 10th year, he would be required to take all of the money to get the entirety of the money, which was not your wish. So it's an unintended consequence of a change in the Secure Act. The solution is relatively simple, but it's going to cost you a little bit of money. What you're going to need to do is take that trust in and get it reviewed, probably by the attorney who drew it up for you, and you're going to want to have it updated. So you're going to have to find a way, discuss it with that attorney, where you can still have some control over that money from the grave because of that, in this case, a spendthrift son or daughter, but not run afoul of this 10-year payout requirement that the Secure Act put onto these IRAs. So there are some significant changes to this. The biggest ones that you'll want to pay attention to are if you're having beneficiaries that are minors, beneficiaries that are grandchildren, or the beneficiary is your trust, and you want to control how that money gets distributed in the future. If one of those three situations are you, then you want to talk to your advisor, you want to talk to your trust attorney, or in some other way get some help to make sure that your goals are still accomplished for that money once you're not here anymore.
This is definitely one of those things, David, where I feel like help is necessary. You know, we talked on the last episode a lot about conversions, Roth conversions, and the process that that goes through. And that, you know, has its own level of complexity as we went through it. But the concept is easy enough to, I think, you know, wrap your head around in terms of tax rates, where they're going to be in the future, higher or lower, kind of tells you whether to take taxes out now. This one is such a layered conversation because it's not just you. Your situation certainly depends, but then also it's the entirety of the situation of the person that that money is passing on to. So you've got two initial variables and then a whole bunch of other variables and rule changes that kind of come in after that. So I don't know, after listening to today's show, it definitely is, this is one of those things where I would want to be double and triple checked on as part of my financial plan. And I'm sure you kind of see that in your office every day as people bring in these kinds of situations.
Yeah, we see it all the time. The Secure Act, you know, did some good things, but this is certainly an unintended consequence of that. It added complexity. Frankly, anytime they tweak something like that, it tends to add complexity. It doesn't simplify anything. And there are rules in place. You just want to make sure that your wishes are what's followed when you're not here anymore. Almost all of these situations, the flexibility ends when you draw your last breath. Whatever you have in place, that's what's going to happen when you die. It's very difficult, most times impossible, to go in and fix something after you're gone. So, depending on the size of your state, the type of beneficiaries you have, make sure you think through this over the next week, month, quarter, but pretty darn soon, And just make sure that you have it laid out legally based on the new laws so that your wishes get accomplished. And in order to do that, I think you're going to need to bring in one of your, you know, financial experts that you rely on. It's probably not a do-it-yourselfer exercise.
This is great to get this information and this background, especially, and this definitely strikes me as something to get some help with because of the many layers. And if you want to talk to David Dickens a little bit about that and your particular situation, you can get in touch easily by picking up the phone and calling 913-317-1414. That's 913-317-1414, and always online at coveryourassetskc.com. That's coveryourassetskc.com. David, I'm pretty sure there's somebody in the government that gets paid by the rule. However many rules there are, that's how much they get paid, and that's why we have so many of them.
Yeah, they're going to have a pretty happy retirement based on the amount of money they're going to get paid for this one.
That's right. That's right. The Secure Act was a boon in more ways than one for that person, I'm sure. But in all seriousness, thanks for the help and the guidance on today's show, and we'll look forward to another good episode with you next week.
I'll look forward to it as well. Thanks, Walter.
That's David Dickens. I'm Walter Storholt. Thanks for joining us. Hope you found today's information helpful. Don't hesitate to reach out if you have any questions. And don't forget to subscribe on your favorite podcasting apps. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and everywhere podcasts are found. Just look for the Cover Your Assets KC podcast today and subscribe so you never miss an episode. We'll talk to you again next time. Thanks for listening.
Investment advisory services offered through Brookstone Capital Management, LLC, BCM, a registered investment advisor. BCM and KC Financial Advisors are independent of each other.